I'd like to draw from God's word this morning in according to St. John chapter 14. St. John chapter number 14. Ljubaznikos Boži pomoć, želbi da nađemo iz Svetu Jovanova 14. glava, prvi stih, početak čitanja. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Excuse me. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we bow to him in prayer.
With Thanksgiving on our bended knees, Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in this morning hour. We humble ourselves in Thy sight, knowing that we are mere human beings that love Thee and want to serve Thee, and that's why we have gathered to worship Thee. And we thank Thee for this opportunity. Thank You for the beautiful day You have provided, and that we might rejoice and be glad in it, because this is a day that Thou hast made. And it is a day set aside that we are to worship Thee, that we are forsake the things of this world, that we might dismiss the cares and the concerns that we have, and that we might humble ourselves before Thee and worship Thee, our God, on this day, Thy Sabbath day. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of those that are unable to gather with us, those of old age, those of home and sick, those that are perhaps unable to come for various reasons Thou knowest, and we pray, Father, that You'll be with them also in this day, and that they might realize this is also a day for them to worship wherever they may be. We're mindful of those that have chosen not to gather also. There are cares and concerns of this life that distract many that do not have the desire to come and to worship. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that they might come to the realization that they are losing out on their very soul salvation. And for our young people that gather and those that are unconverted, Father, we pray for them as well this morning, that they might hear this word, meditate upon it, and then apply it to their lives, that they might seek their soul salvation while the call goes out once again, and that Thou hast drawn us with Thy cords of love, that they too might feel a part of this and respond to Thy great love, especially the love from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came, shed His blood, died on the cross, showed us the way, give us the words of truth and life, as we have read this morning, granted unto us the way that we ought to live our lives that might please Thee, and that we might abide in Thee and in Thy love. Father, we thank You for these words that have been preserved on through the ages. We thank You that we can read them and still apply them to our lives, even in this day and age, knowing that there is much evil around us. But may we, Heavenly Father, concentrate and meditate on Thy word this morning hour. As You would give our brother utterance, we pray the leading of the Holy Spirit might guide and direct the thoughts of us. And as we sit and listen, may we attentively listen to Thee and understand what Thy word has for us today. And so, Father, there are also in our language, Serbian language, that our brother might bring the message as well, and that they might understand and live thereby. Heavenly Father, there are many things that we could ask of Thee, but as Thy word teaches us, that we would ask whatever we ask, may it be through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He will give us those petitions if we will but have the faith, the trust in Thee, the living God, and that it might be according to Thy will and not ours. So bless our being together. We commit this time into Your care and keeping. Ask and pray a blessing in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Depth and really one service is not adequate to devote to the many aspects of what Jesus has presented here. It's clear that this is, again, a very moving portrayal of the fact that there is no end to the gospel in terms of its understanding, in terms of its impact, the purpose of the gospel. We oftentimes, I don't want to say reduce it, but we summate it as the good news, and certainly it is. But this is very, very revealing to us in this chapter, all of the aspects of Christ, all of who He is. Can't say was, because He is timeless. And everything that, by way of attribute, everything that we have learned about Christ is really indicative and borne out in this chapter. We see, loved ones, of his obedience to his Heavenly Father. We see the relationship that has long been established prior to him becoming the Son of Man. You see the finiteness of earth trying to understand the infinite and the eternal relationship of Christ and our Heavenly Father. The inclusion that Jesus wants us to be as him in relation to his Father is amazing. And sometimes perhaps we just read that or we accept it. It's part of, you know, verse knowledge and so forth. But if we pause and if we consider, loved ones, that Jesus' Father is our Father too, if we but believe on Christ and follow his teachings. Think about that. We know that our earthly fathers, we know the importance of and the meaning of what it is to have a father. There are some in this world who, and many in this world, who cannot say that. There are many that I have known, several people who have never met their father. And regardless of, you know, we grow up and we become men and women, and we outgrow our parents, if you will, to some extent. And so over time, not knowing your father may seem to be clouded with years and past time that moves on and so forth and so on. But it's never really ever something that goes away. And we look to our fathers for direction, for stability, for identity, for many attributes, many things that are necessary in this life. We, thankfully, many of us can make that testimony that we received good instruction, we received safety and support, we received, you know, the identity, we understood and were protected by our fathers, and we were prepared for life. Those are some of the attributes of having a father in your life that loves you and that makes you a priority in their life. Do we think of our Heavenly Father in the same way? We don't see our Heavenly Father with our senses, but Jesus is actually, and I'm thankful that we have history here, what the disciples asked. They asked questions that either we have or we've thought of, and that we struggle, we have limits, and they say, show us the Father, or show us the way, and so forth. You know, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Think of what he said. He was honest. He wasn't saying, look, if you show us the Father, we'll really believe, we believe it all. That's not really what he meant, but this is an example of where our humanity comes into play, where our heart and our words fly out in the face of a perfect Savior and Redeemer. And Jesus said, haven't I been so long time with you? Have you not known me? Jesus is saying, have you not known me? Have you not seen my miracles? Have you not walked with me, talked with me? Have you not felt me? And friends, do you know the Lord? How do we know the Lord? How do we see the Father? Because Philip said he didn't see him effectively. How do you see him? How do we see him? We see him through the Word. The Word is far beyond our eyes, far beyond our intellect, far beyond our resources, our anything that we feel that we can count on. The Word is far beyond that. We are inadequate, and effectively we are blind So we not only cannot we see the Father, we can't even see ourselves if the Word of God does not open to us. I mean, it opens when we open the Word in the Bible. It's open. But is it really open to me? Do I really read it? Do I really believe it? And lastly, do I apply it? There seems to be a notion that if you read it, you know, all of a sudden we can do it. And my friends, we know better than that. I certainly know better than that. We read the Word, but we also need help in applying the Word. And Jesus puts a stipulation. He puts a stipulation about whether how is it that he registers our love to him. How does Jesus register him being loved? Basically, it's through obedience. In the same manner that he has showed us that how does he love his Father? It's through obedience. And we can't say, well, he was Jesus and I'm not Jesus. Satan's going to say that. He tells me that. He'll tell you that. But the fact is, Jesus has made it possible for us to truly love him. He's made that possible. On our part, we simply need to believe that. And we need to believe it to the extent that we trust his word. And in some cases, loved ones, that just means letting go. Just letting go. Whatever that can hold us back from not fully trusting the Lord and his word, whatever that is, it's got to be earmarked as it has to go. Sometimes we don't see that on our own. And thankfully, we have a community. The Spirit of God employs a community of those that will help us. That's how the Spirit works. He's not restricted to one person, to one place, to one time. The Spirit of God, as Jesus promised, and in this chapter, this is really a covenant-making kind of discourse that Jesus is expressing. Albeit, they may not have understood it, but brothers and sisters and friends, for us, it is very apt that we can understand it. We know how to understand this. And the Holy Spirit will work in ways, in multiples, that is designed to have us see and embrace the word as it's given. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit of God is not a commodity that we just kind of reach out for or have some sense of desire alone. The Spirit of God is a gift. And he is part of the Godhead, which necessitates a heart that has confessed, that has embraced, and that has pledged a walk with Christ. And with that, we have the assurance that we will be guided by the Word, because the Holy Spirit will have an active role in affording the Word to our attention. Now, if we disobey, that's on us. It's not a failure. It's not an omittance. If we disobey, we disobey. And there are consequences for that in our first and foremost in our relationship with Christ. Jesus didn't want to breach his relationship with his Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, On more than one time, he prayed fervently. He prayed soulfully. He prayed for if this cup could pass over. But in the end, he accepted the will of the Father. I believe that that is a very illustrative, very showing nature of Jesus to us. Because, loved ones, in life, we will have our moments where we will have a grave intersection between our will and the Father's will. If there's somebody in the audience that doesn't feel that way or hasn't experienced that, I'd like to actually talk with you. But the fact of the matter is, that's life. Life intersects on earth with the Word of God, with God's will, and with His purpose for us. And our manifestation of loving our Heavenly Father, our manifestation of belief in Jesus Christ, is going to measure how do we handle that trend, how do we handle that intersection. Do we maintain our course with the expectation that this will be an outcome that will be favorable? I believe that that's where Satan does come into play. And he wants us to maintain that course. He wants us, as long as possible, to strive against the will. As long as possible. And they may not even be evident that we're striving. That's how we can become fooled in our own life. Jesus didn't come back and talk about the things that he could have. The level of disbelief, the level of almost condemnation that he was feeling from people on earth. He could have given a very clear and a very truthful report to his Father that these people are not worthy of salvation. From his point of view, he could have, but he didn't. He went into the death, into sacrificial death, with full knowledge of the nature of man, the sinfulness of man, the haughtiness of man, the unworthiness of man, and he did that because he loved his Father, and he loved us before we yet even knew him. So it would be, in among many things, quite fair for Jesus to qualify, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's simple. Is it up for debate? No. Is it unfair? No. What it comes down to is, do I really want to? And in eternity, we'll basically house those that wanted to, had a desire, and had the purpose of wanting to please and love their Lord. And those that took that same level of emotion, because we're going to love something in this life. We will not go out of this life having not loved. That's not the point. We will love somebody. And if Jesus isn't the one that we love the most, then whatever and whomever we loved will have not been worth it. Love of self is probably the biggest competitor of loving Jesus. That's the biggest competitor. And think about how foolish it is to love oneself. We didn't create ourselves. We can't sustain ourselves. We can't alter anything that will happen in this life. There's another will above us that has decreed our birth, that knows how many heartbeats your life and mine will actually have in the course of its life. We don't know our tomorrows. We don't know anything that promotes the notion that we should have a basis to love ourselves to the degree that it would block out Jesus. Yet, it happens. And loved ones, it is very, very dire. It's a very sober, very extremely important thing to see or to have a view, the correct view, of where I am in relation to loving the Lord. There are times, perhaps, when what Jesus' words ask us or instruct us to do are not favorable to us. It would be quite misrepresenting if we all came together and pretended otherwise. What really is the test of faith, what really is the test of what Jesus has even left with his disciples, is how are we going to handle that? How am I going to handle that in my life and in your life? Do we have the faith to be seeking that remedy, or do we not? Because, as you know, in life on earth, there are rules. There are things that your workplace, my workplace, school, there are things that may come up that are a little bit more difficult. Say you just don't agree with, and you don't put your best efforts into it. Where does that lead to? Do we really win more than we lose when we deal with life that way? We wind up losing. We may find that others lose as well because of that. And so it's important to take, if nothing else, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and prioritize that. And say, it's not enough of what I view as loving the Lord and whether that makes me feel okay or not. I need to see his view. I need to feel his view. I feel mine. I need to feel his. That will take more of an exercise. It'll take more of a... It'll take more of us to settle that question than the normal, do I love the Lord? And ultimately, why? What is the goal? We want to be with the Lord. Does anybody here feel that there's a better place? There isn't. We want to be with him. We believe that he came to go back, to prepare and come back in a different capacity. We believe that. We believe that there is a heaven. We believe that there are many mansions there waiting for you and for me. We believe that. Then we must also believe, I must also believe, that in order for all that to happen, I have to love him in the manner that he has prescribed. Does it seem remedial? Maybe. Things that are heard often or most don't exactly equate to having been met or done always. And that's part of the curse of being who we are. But there is a will, and there is an accountability that we have, having been presented with the Word, having been given the promises, and having embraced the promise of Christ, we have a responsibility to live them. The good news is that Jesus has the continual mercy and grace. He has the same offer today as he had yesterday, as he had 40 years ago, 100 years ago, and on and on, and if the Lord would tarry for the next 100 years. He hasn't changed. What he's asking for will not change. The only thing that changes are people. And if we conform to his word, we will have been changed. You see, my dear seekers, we don't go from reforming to regenerating. There's no such thing. If we focus on reforming, we will be in the loop that never ends, and we will never be reformed. We can't do this on our own. There's nothing that we can bring to the table of salvation that has something that comes out of my pocket or yours. We don't have heirdoms that come from family lines. We don't have anything but filthy rags. That's what we are, filthy rags. What's the use of filthy rags? At some point, there's too much filth on a rag to be considered to be worth anything. Even to get even more grease or dirt to be cleansed with, it has its limits. That's who we are. But Christ loved us as filthy rags. And what he's saying is, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I believe that through his Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, and the immutable word of God, men will have the opportunity to see the Father, to be loved by the Father, and to be united with the Father in heaven forever because of Jesus Christ and him alone. May the Lord bless his word upon our hearts.